Good morning, everyone. It's my it's my pleasure to be here. This is my first meeting to see SSA. I've been a member for about 10 years now. Well, the outline of my presentation is just an overview of wheat production in Siwana. I'll then talk about, give an overview of this rust, and then breeding for stem rust, application of markers, and the impacts, and conclusions, and acknowledgement. I guess in a situation such as this, it's only necessary to give an overview. What is Siwana? Siwana represents Central West Asia and North Africa. If you follow the outline here, you will see the countries that are represented, North Africa here, Sub-Saharan Africa, and Central and West Asia. It's a highly diverse region with challenging problems, and the area to wheat production is about 50 million hectares, and the people is about 1 billion people. So in terms of the importance of wheat, I think the importance of wheat is the most important food crop for the region, with an average wheat consumption of about 185 kilograms per capita per year. So as so, unfortunately, most of the countries in the region still rely heavily on wheat imports. So anything that affects the production of wheat in that region actually affects the citizens badly. The major constraints have been listed here, both abiotic and biotic stresses. In terms of abiotic stresses, drought, high temperature represents the two most important abiotic stresses. In terms of biotic stresses, yellow leaf stem rust, septoria, BYDV, and root diseases are equally important. As you can see in the slide over here, stem rust is actually the most important disease when it comes to that region. And depending on the country, the yellow rust is the most important disease, and depending on the country, stem rust, of course, is equally important. But there you won't release any variety there without yellow rust. So yellow rust is a significant disease, as we experienced in Syria and adjoining regions this year here, where yellow rust, because of the virulence on wire, 27 decimated crops, farmers that used to get 6 tons per hectare hardly could harvest a ton of hectare because of yellow rust. So these are the three major rust diseases, then yellow and leaf rust. I'm going to focus on UG99. You are all very familiar with the story of UG99. There was an outbreak in 1999 in Uganda, subsequently followed by Kenya in 2003, Ethiopia 2005, Sudan 2006, and it's now been found in Yemen and Iran. So these are documented countries where UG99 outbreaks have been reported. There have now been 7 variants of the original UG99, depending on which gene that is knocked out. If we remember, it started with SR31, and then there's been SR24, SR36, and the number of other resistant genes has been affected. So, and with each of those comes the various variants associated with the breakdown in resistance of the various genes. Why is that such important? Why is UG99 that important? I think the issue is actually the way varieties are developed. If you look at the region that I mentioned, or even beyond that, most of the varieties grown in that region had SR31 and essentially relied heavily on germplasm produced by Senet and ICADA. So when there was a breakdown in that, then it constituted a major threat to food production worldwide. The consequences, of course, is quite familiar. Then there's panic around the world because of just the narrow base of the germplasm that are grown widely in the world. So what do we do about mega varieties? I guess that's the challenge. It's not just for UG99. I'm pretty sure it's a challenge that faces us as we really try to ensure that wheat is grown. But is it necessary to rely on few varieties, or do we, how do we diversify and ensure that we produce materials that are acceptable to customers as well, rather than relying on a few mega varieties? Anyway, in breeding for resistance to stem rust, two types of resistance, of course, widely used is seedling resistance, which is essentially major genes and the other plant resistance. Well, most of the work I'm going to talk about here will talk about the seedling resistance, or the major genes, actually, because in stem rust, it's only been about SR2 is one and the only one confirmed source of adult plant resistance. And I guess in time, because of recent emphasis, other sources have been discovered. But in terms of understanding, that is still going on, but I believe that in a few years we'll have answers to that. So I've put here this slide borrowed from various presentations in the past, listing some of the resistant genes, the ones that are effective and the ones that are not. And there are various sources. As you can see, most of the sources are actually from alien species as well. However, the ones that are in blue are the effective ones, and the ones that are red are broken down. But of all of these sources, the only adult plant resistant gene that's been characterized to date is the SR2. So in understanding what we have in Ikada germplasm, we decided to look at some of the markers that are known, that are known to confer resistance to UG99. As you can see here, the SR31 is broken down. SR24 as well, SR36, but SR24 still holds in places like Ethiopia. So for each of these, a number of markers have been reported. What you do in marker assisted selection is to start by validating your germplasm with known markers. You do haplotype. SR2 here, we've looked at four of the markers, reported some SSR markers as well as some gene-based markers. So, what we've done is to look at characterizing our fixed line or crossing block, because this is the basis of the improvement that we're going to make now and in the future. By validating existing markers that I listed earlier, we actually know what we have in our germplasm pool and then be able to make further progress in that. We're equally doing some marker-assisted backcrossing. And from our existing work, through characterization of those fixed line and crossing block, we've just come to the realization that some of the germplasm possess multiple disease resistance, then making it easier for us to pyramid diverse sources into elite germplasm as we go to the future. So, really, we're fully involved in discovery of new sources and some preemptive breeding. I present to you the result of our exercise in validation, just using a few examples. Here is our validation of SR2 using macro satellite marker as well as a gene-based marker. If you look at the PowerPoint presentation, this is GWM533 is an SSR marker that is linked to SR2, whereas this is a gene-based marker from the group in CSRO that is linked again, reportedly linked to SR2. When you compare both, the SSM marker still is just better because both of these are checks that shouldn't have the fragment. But in this instance, the gene-based marker does show the presence of the fragment, suggesting further work is needed. Since then, we've looked at other two additional gene-based markers to find ones that are possibly better than these. Max Soro, sitting at the back, has equally found some other SSR markers linked to these. So all of that together, we've looked at about four of those, trying to find out which combinations more accounts for better percentage in terms of actually telling us the presence of SR2. That work has been helped because we have a phenotypic marker for SR2, the pseudo black shaft. So, looking at the first shot of characterization that we did of our parental germplasm, you will notice here that the carrier germplasm, actually, particularly the crossing block, is heavily. We have the heavy presence of SR2, followed by SR24. SR31, of course, is the one that's broken down. But the good thing about that is that in addition to the presence of, or the predominance of SR2, we equally have materials, this is in percentage, that actually has SR2 plus other genes. And if you look here, you will find SR2, SR25, and LR34YR18, which is another adult plant resistance gene, that this time linked to LR34 and YR18. So luckily, in this instance, SR2 is quite prominent in our germplasm. Well, parental characterization is one, but the other is trying to efficiently select your material for double haploid production. This is the result of evaluating 900 plus of F2 segregating population to be able to select materials with a combination of genes for double haploid production. This is actually our work in winter wheat. This, again, has consistency with the material in our, of course, that selection was made on the basis of having earlier characterized the crossing block. Luckily, in the F2, you can see it's quite a number of segregation in terms of lines that possess multiple genes. This has now been selected and now been used for double haploid production. So this is just a classic case of using the markers to enrich our population by ensuring that, you know, from that early stage, our materials are fixed through DH production. Well, again, as a consequence of having the presence of SR2 and YR18, we looked at, okay, if you have SR2 plus YR18, both adult plant resistant genes, do you actually improve your resistance? If you look at the percentage of material, these are classified according to their level of increasing susceptibility. Here we have 7% of the lines showing resistance. The difference actually lies in the number of lines that are less susceptible, because if you look at here, when you remove YR18, quite 76% of the materials are actually more susceptible. However, with the presence of YR18, only 53% of the material are actually susceptible, showing that a combination of the two slow rusting genes actually confer better resistance. Well, this is, again, I did talk about using our phenotypic assay, which expresses itself quite prominently in our region to validate the work on trying to find out a better marker for SR2. This picture is taken from the field. Again, just this confirms the presence of what we found in the marker work because of the leaf tip necrosis associated with LR34. The question is, what have we developed for the breeders? This is the work of my colleague Usman. This is the result of our first C1 stem rust resistant nursery. As you can see here, we have materials with metal genes, and essentially the predominance of our material actually possess a combination of minor genes, hence the preponderance of the materials within that region. Then how do they perform in the field in terms of yield? Well, it speaks for itself here. I just used the second C1 stem rust nursery. We get materials that are pretty good. The summary is that a significant proportion of Ikada's material actually possess stem rust. A high proportion of those possess the slow rusting gene. Some possess two or more genes. And more importantly, in terms of stakeholders, we do have materials out there for the farmers that actually do better, than the recurrent parents, yielding 25% better than the recurrent parents. For most breeders, the question you ask is why would you use a marker? Is that the best option? Well, of course, we have to improve efficiency as the primary reason. And our other major activities are in gene discovery and characterization, the future work, acknowledgement, technical staff, the funders, GRDC, Wolfgang, and thanks.